Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens in Christmas Valley, rejoicing with you in the things of the Lord, hoping that you will be blessed of God. And as I read to you and show you one or two things from the scriptures, I hope that there is a great deal of delight in your soul. We're still really in the theme of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is that if a man believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus will be his shepherd, and he will guide his sheep. And it's in the guidance of the sheep that we often stumble around a little and sometimes get ourselves into a bit of a fix, not really knowing or understanding how to put things straight with God. Why, for instance, are prayers not answered? At least not in the affirmative. God always answers, even if the answer is no. But how do we deal with this? And how do you deal with it? Have you become sort of stoic and thinking, oh, well, whatever will be, it isn't the will of God that I should be helped this week or this month or this year or whatever? So you go against God in the sense that you ignore God. You're just recognizing that one day, perhaps, maybe, somehow, somewhere, he will pour out a blessing in answer to your prayer. That's not a good testimony, and it's not what the Word of God wants for you. If you go to Colossians, where we were, or have been in the past, look at chapter 4 and verse 2, you discover that the Word of God says to us, and I use the Amplified New Testament as well as the King James Bible. These are about the only two that I usually use, although I do use others. And I would encourage you to do something similar. But the word is devote yourselves to prayer, or give yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves. We've looked at this, and I'm not going to spend more time on the word devote, but it means to take time, give oneself to, set apart portions of our lives, allow no one and nothing to intervene or distract. In other words, have a time of prayer in your life daily, and be daily in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Daily spend the time there. Now, there are reasons for hindered prayers, and I would like to go through those hindrances, but the time is short and very valuable here. But I would like to share with you that we have, if you look up the scriptures, a lot of reasons why we should be more careful about our praying. Just, or for instance, James tells us in James 1 and verses 6 through 8, and in chapter 4 and verse 3, he tells us that one of the reasons that there is a hindrance in prayer is because of the relationship we have with our wives. He says, make sure that you treat your wife correctly. Make sure that you ask her as much as you can. Tell her as much as you can. Involve her as much as you can. Let her be part of your life so that in this sharing of two lives, there may be answers to prayer. Sometimes prayer is hindered. He tells us here in these scriptures, you be careful, because prayer is often hindered as a result of the relationship we have with others. It's more than just a husband and wife, but that's included. He makes special mention of it. And you and I need to be able to say, whoops, let's get some things sorted out. Let's sort out what is our attitude toward our wives. What is our attitude so that we can correct, if necessary, the things that go on between us and our wives? Because the one thing we do not want is a hindrance to prayer. In fact, we are desperate to have our prayers answered in the affirmative, and we should be led by the Spirit of Christ in all these things. If we go back into Colossians 4 and verse 2, we discover, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same thing with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us who are in the ministry." So spend time in prayer and make sure you do it properly. Devote yourself to prayer. There were times in my early career that I had friends that I could say, "Let's spend the night in prayer." And so we would gather about 9 o'clock at night, and we would pray through until breakfast time at about 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And then we'd all go off to my house and we would eat breakfast. And my wife was very generous and kind and helpful. We had a meal together. We had breakfast. We broke our fast during the night. We were fasting, but we were praying and we were lifting up souls. And we had a large tent. There was a fellow by the name of Peter Brandon, another one Ivor Powell, another George Tryon, and myself. We four used to spend a great deal of time in prayer. And that night we would expect to see souls saved. We would expect to see people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would expect people to walk down the aisle, if there was an aisle to walk down. And there are many stories that can be told about this, and how remarkable it was that God honored our prayer lives. And we all were married. We all had responsibilities as far as marriage was concerned. But that one night, every once in a while, we spent in prayer. And we would not allow anybody to break in on us. We would not allow anybody that wasn't going to pray and spend the night with us to even come into the prayer time. Yet people came and they spent the entire night with us praying and weeping over the lost. In those days, there were many souls that were saved, and I think it was because we prayed and wept before the Father, and the Father saw our tears. And when he put them in the bottle and kept them in his apothecary, he just wonderfully recognized that these tears were shed for the salvation of souls. We were in the business with God to see that souls were saved. Now today, we are very clinical in the way we pray. We don't even have a heart for prayer, it seems to me. And I've listened to many a person pray in latter years. The praying is not what I would call praying. It's, "God bless this meeting, and thank you for letting us get together, and thank you for the lovely day. Bless us, please. Amen." And that's about the extent of prayer. I was tremendously dissatisfied and colossally shattered, actually, in my spirit. I had asked a few friends who I know love the Lord Jesus, and I had said, "Can we spend some time in prayer? Let's get aside and rest a while from the pressures of ministry, and let's pray." And we got together, and I sat there, and they sat there, and they were expecting, I don't know what, but I was expecting someone to start to pray, so that we could pray, if necessary, through the night and the day and the next day and so on. There was a dumb silence. And one of the fellows said, "Amen. Would you like some coffee? Here's some coffee and some cookies here." And that was the extent of the prayer time. And I said, "Well, wait a minute, fellows. I want us to pray." And they looked at me as much to say, "What did you just say?" I have not found in the Northwest here men who will join me in prayer. I mean prayer. I mean spending time in agony if necessary, for the souls of men. And why do we labour? If there's no prayer, we can't expect the souls to come. And if the souls don't come, then we're not doing business with God. So we need to think about these things. I was reading also from James, and I was reading that we need to be very careful in our prayers. Notice with me, please, in chapter 1 from James, and you will discover how he lays it out for us in verses 6 through 8. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. And then he goes on and talks about the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth, and the grass and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it is perishable. And he talks about this. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, and when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. It's a remarkable thing that when we pray, we are cleansed, and it is God that is revealed in us. It is Jesus and the attitude of the Lord Jesus that is revealed in us. And then you can go into 1 John chapter 3 and discover verses 21 and 2. And so it goes on and on. Now the barrenness that comes into a person's life is busyness. Most often, you and I are so busy we have no time for prayer. When we have no time for prayer, we have no time to do anything. In fact, we're so beaten up, we don't have time to stop and spend time with the Lord Jesus. We're always in such a hurry. There are such a lot of things to do and achieve, and we're doing it, and we're not being very sensible. And so there's a barrenness in our soul. Spirituality, or spiritually slack lives, and careless lives are very, very foolish lives. And let me bring this out to you. Never neglect the word. Now, having said that, I have to say that there have been moments in my life when perhaps I've not cracked my Bible open for a day or two, or even longer. And there are times when I can't seem to reach the toes of God while he sits on his throne. There are other times when I seem to be in his lap and I'm whispering in his ear and he's whispering back to me. There are times of such closeness with the presence of God that I'm absolutely revived, and there are times in the presence of God where I'm absolutely shattered. So let me say this with you and help you to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not in the argument of philosophy and that sort of thing. We are, in fact, coming before the living God, and in the presence of the living God, we're asking, we're seeking, and we're knocking, and we're asking him to open and to help us find and answer our prayers, and we expect them to be answered. This year so far, in my experience, the Lord has so blessed me, I don't know what to do. I have all sorts of things that have gone on in my life. But this is a very personal thing, and I'm not prepared to share it with you, but simply to say God has blessed me. Now, neglect of the word is a very foolish thing, very foolish. How many of us really know what God has been saying unless we read his word? You may have all the programs and you may have all the Bible studies in the world, but if you're not within that world using the Bible and not just using a pet piece, but trying to understand the overall setting of the Bible or the New Testament or the gospel or letter or whatever it is that you're studying, and then get down to the specifics. We've got pet peeves and we've got pet ideas and we think we're right and we're wrong. We need to see that God is love, and we need to teach that the love of God reaches far, farther than any tongue can tell. He reaches from the highest star. This is not something that is being proclaimed. Otherwise, the inroads of Muslim thinking wouldn't be so enormous, and the terror of the modern, what we're calling radical thinking, but it's not really that radical. It is simply what the Muslim believes. And the evil that has come upon the world through ISIS and so on is something that we can pray against. God is love. God is not wrath. He is not full of wrath. He's not full of fearsome things. He is full of love. He is gentle. He is kind. He is long-suffering. And God loves you. The love of God has reached you exactly where you are. You may have made some bad decisions in the past, and your life may be topsy-turvy as a result of those decisions that you made, and you may be in all sorts of conditions of wishing it was different. But my dear friend, whether you're male or female, it makes no odds. God loves you. And the love of God is expressed to you in that while you were yet a sinner, a person without hope, a person without the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to champion their cause, without the hope of resurrection, without the hope that Jesus brought to your heart. And if you will bow before him, and if you will receive him as Savior, and if you will accept that his resurrection is so powerful and so wonderful, it will change your life. Change it. Now, if you can accept Jesus as the changer of what is rotten in your life and the cleaner-upper, if I dare say it that way, that on the cross, nailed to the cross, he took all your sin and bore it on the tree, bore it on the cross, and Jesus bore it, and he prayed for you, and he wept for you, and he lifted his heart up towards you and I. All of us have received this love of God, but have we received him into our hearts? Are we rejoicing in the presence of the heart of God? Do we understand that he doesn't judge us? He says, stay away from the foolish things. Pray. Devote yourself to prayer. And here's a challenge I would lay in front of you, because I know it's possible, and I know you've got the time, especially those of us who are semi-retired or retired. We can spend time praying. Pray for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Pray for each one individually and get to know their individual needs. Let it not just be that they come to you for money, but let it be that they come to you for advice. Let it be that they come to you and say, what do I do in this situation or that situation? Then take them to the scriptures and show them what God would have them to do. And the reception of his love is the most wonderful reception of all. Soon I'm to be going to visit a wedding. It's my grandson and a lovely young lady that God has selected for him. In a month or two, they will be Mr. and Mrs. and they will start their own family and do their own thing. And it's a wonderful thing. And I just mentioned the fact to them, why are you doing this? And they sort of were a bit startled, looking at me as if I was some foolish old fellow. And the young lady said, because we love one another. Oh, so you're going to spend the rest of your life together because you love one another? Yes. And he joined in and we had a little discussion about this love stuff. You see, the love of God is wonderful. It never runs out. It never changes. It never alters. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though we may forget him, he never forgets us. There are times when some of us have forgotten our anniversaries and caused great heartache in the heart of our wives. Well, God never does that to you. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Come on, follow me. When I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, I did. I found that this wonderful God loved me. When my body was hurting so badly and I was still in the hospital, I would recount some of the stories from the scriptures, and I was blessed as I was recounting those stories because it always showed the love of God. It always showed the beauty of his holiness. It always showed his justice and redemption. It always showed that God loved me before the foundation of the world. It always shows me that. God is anxious to tell us that we are loved. We are loved. We are not to be stoned. We're not to have our heads and hands chopped off. We are loved. We are not to be embarrassed and suffer terrible things. We are loved, and he will cover our sins when we turn to him. He will wash us white as snow. He will create within us a clean heart and renew a right spirit with all who turn to him. Have you done that? God is love. Where do you find this? Well, you find it in talking with him. Prayer is when you talk to God, and reading his word is when he talks back to you. And this marriage of these two things is very beautiful, because the secrets of God are made known to you by his Holy Spirit. You are kept in the grace of God, and you are kept in the compassion and the fullness of the gospel. The word of God is passionately true and delivers us from evil. Ah, would you not like to be delivered from evil? Does evil overwhelm you? Does evil overcome you? Does evil center into your life and settle? Do you have that terrible time where you don't know what you're doing because God somehow doesn't seem to be speaking? Well, listen to him. He says, ask, ye shall receive. Not ask, and if it's the right timing, I'll give you something. This isn't a God that tips us with a blessing or tips us with a present. This is a God that loves us more than we know how to love ourselves. This is a God who loves us with eternal love, love that has started the moment we say, I accept you as my Savior, till eternity runs out, and it doesn't run out, of course. And so that is the God who never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever, God is that God. And his concern for you and I individually is a great concern. People have sold God short. And some people have said that he is a God of wrath. He is a God of wrath. There's no question about it. But if you and I repent and believe the gospel, we shall pray, and he will hear our prayers and answer them. I could keep you here for hours telling you stories of people who have turned to Christ, whose lives have been changed. But there is one I shall just hit on for a moment. I was preaching in a little town in England, and this missionary lady came to me and she said, "My brother is away from the Lord, and he was running with some gangs, and these gangs were pretty violent. And he came to the meeting the next night." She said, "Please pray, he's coming to the meeting." And he came to our meeting and he got converted. And I had two or three good counselors sit with him and talk with him, and they led him to the Lord Jesus. And I was disappointed and yet thrilled all at the same time when about 4 or 5 months later, I heard that he had been stabbed to death in the middle of the city in which he lived. But he died, and his testimony in his death was that Jesus is my Savior. And the reason he was stabbed to death was because he wanted to leave the life of working with this particular gang, and they didn't want him to. So they took his life from him. A man may take our life, but God receives us absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now I have to stop, but I want to ask you to devote yourself to prayer, say for 2 hours, an afternoon, an evening, a half day, a whole day. Spend time in prayer, and God will bless you. He will fill your heart with his glory. Let's pray together. Teach us how to pray, Lord, to open our hearts and express exactly what we feel. Help us to tell you of our sin, and help us to be washed in the blood that you so freely gave for us. Bless us now, and bless this word, we beseech you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.